Time to get ready.
Of course. Ready for what?
It's the big interview. Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
Long chats with big brains meant to give you a better view of the big picture.
As far as brains go, I got the lion's share.
As money life goes big time.
Big reason for this success is you.
Literally.
It's big interview time here on Money Life, and I'm pleased to be joined by Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. He's the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success, and he is somebody that we turn to whenever we're trying to get a sense of what the Fed is doing. If you want to get his sense of what the Fed is or isn't doing when he's not here, then follow him on Twitter where he's at Doug S. Roberts, or go to channelcapitalresearch.com to get more information. Doug Roberts, welcome back to Money Life.
Always a pleasure to be here, Chuck.
I am curious for your take now, because I have increasingly become of the opinion that the Fed has waited too long, that we've now gotten to mistake territory, and that the Fed now, rather than saying, oh, let's try to find the perfect time to make a move, is now perhaps faced with, what do we do to fix this?
I think the real problem, Chuck, if we're looking from strictly a philosophical point of view, is twofold. First, you know, at some point, the longer you kind of like leave market rates low without any form of direction, you know, kind of like a general treatment that we've seen so far, the more speculation that you have layered on. So you need to continue the repair process, but you really can't control the repair process. And that's really the dilemma that they've been undergoing. And they may have waited too long, because there now may be much more speculation built into the system than anybody realizes. And I think that's what's really causing the Fed some concern, is that there's some ripple effect, kind of like what you had with AIG back in 2008, which they found after they let Lehman Brothers go under, that they're totally unaware of, and which could cause a problem. I think what they're trying to figure to do is kind of do it one and done for a period of time, or one or two and done for a period of time, kind of let things do it out. So it's almost like, I guess, raising rates, unlike 1994, where they raised them in rapid succession. It's more like watching moss grow on a tree. I think what you're alluding to is, you know, could be a problem, but it's really because the Fed hasn't, you know, really addressed the underlying issues of the market. One thing, if we can go back in time, not just prior to the, you know, doing away with Glass-Steagall, but just really prior to 1994, when they announced that their primary target was the federal funds rate. At one time, you used to have basically the discount rate, the rate at which they loaned to member banks, being the primary Fed target. And really, open market operations was really a secondary tool, almost something like stabilization. If you go back to the crash of 87, they lowered the Fed funds rate fairly massively along with the discount rate, but within 3 months they were raising the Fed funds rate back to normal levels, but the discount rate was left low, and that allowed them to do it, because they knew in event of a problem, at least the banking system would have adequate liquidity to kind of pick up the damages. And really, with a lot of brokerages, firms that didn't have access to the discount window since they weren't banks, it was kind of like a stay of execution. You know, this will give you a couple of months to kind of get your affairs in order, but as far as you're concerned, you're a dead entity right now. And then the banks, you know, kind of were allowed to be given a subsidy, but they were heavily regulated, and they were forced to repair balance sheets, kind of to clean up the garbage, if you want to call it. And that took about 2 years, and that was really the pattern prior to 1994. Then when you started getting all these bubbles that you've been seeing is when they switched to really the Fed funds rate. And the Fed funds rate basically targets the market in general, but you really have no say over who you're targeting. So at that point, people started increasingly speculating more and more. And that's the real problem that they're wrestling with. It's not just so much the timing. It's the fact that really the current system is really unworkable.
So if the current system is unworkable, if we go through the normal machinations or the moves that you're talking about, what kind of response do we get? Do we get any kind of response that does anything that the Fed is hoping to get done.
I think at this point it becomes like a whole series of problems until you deal with some of the underlying excesses of the system. I mean, they've worked some of that out, but they've replaced them with new ones, kind of like what you saw really from 1994. First, you had the tech bubble. Then you had the housing bubble. Then you kind of had a commodity bubble. And maybe what we're doing is we're coming off the commodity bubble now, and then we're going to have another bubble. You kind of keep repeating that seems to be the new process that we've undergone for the last 20 years, is we create these problems, but, you know, in essence, we don't really resolve them. I think there was an attempt to resolve them, and the thought was we'd impose all these new regulatory frameworks and we'd resolve the situation. That was essentially with Dodd-Frank, but really it just only applied to a limited end of the market, and really you have a lot of excesses being built up in other parts of the market, and that's really the problem. So it's kind of like this is Groundhog Day all over again. Probably, I think, they'll raise them slowly, and then you might have a situation where you have a lot of volatility, a wide range of volatility, but you don't really go anywhere. And then at some point a mistake happens, and the Fed will have to reverse position. And whether we have a really serious bear market or just a short one, whether it's kind of like 2008 or 2011, will depend upon how quickly the Fed reverses direction and, you know, the damage that's been done. But the real problem is you need to fundamentally deal with a different type of a system. And right now they may have waited too long, but I think if they had kind of raised it a little bit earlier, it wouldn't necessarily have solved the problem.
Here we are getting towards the end of 2015. We all thought a year ago we would have seen rates up by now. We're certainly getting to a spot where most people are thinking we're not going to see rates up at all this year. If we had to look in your crystal ball for a year from now, what are you thinking we're going to see in terms of the rate picture 12 months from now?
Well, right now, I mean, I think you could still conceivably have one or two and done. But realistically, once you get toward the end of spring, nobody really likes to raise rates going into the presidential election, because then the Fed's basically, you know, accused of basically tampering with the elections. So really, it's almost a time frame. They really have until the end of March, maybe April, unless the economy is blasting full steam ahead, which I don't think it will. They're not going to really want to raise rates. Once that becomes apparent, you could have actually a melt-up in the market. But the big if there is if the economy doesn't weaken. Because the flip side is you may end up with that situation, but then if the economy is weakening substantially, they end up getting caught on the wrong side of the fence where they need to actually switch positions. They can't really do it conventionally, and we've got to bring back QE5, or if you want to, QE4, you know, they have to reinvigorate QE4 since the provisions are still in there, that they can start doing that to basically arrest any decline. But, you know, right now the Fed is going to really want to become quiet the closer and closer we get to the election. So the longer that rate increase is delayed, whether it be, let's say, December or January, the less likely it becomes that it's going to happen. And if it does happen, it's more like one and done.
As I pointed out, you're the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. We've got every guest who comes on here who looks at the market trying to figure out what to do. But since you focus first on the Fed and then kind of right go outward, how does somebody follow a Fed that's not actually leading to investment success?
Ultimately, I mean, like, it's really whether you're going to be in gold or whether you're going to be in, let's say, treasuries. And this is one shameless plug described in my book and also some of the literature on my website. But it's really whether inflation maintains the current level that it is, or it, basically we start to get a whiff of deflation. If we start to get a whiff of deflation, then you're going to really want to be in more bonds and basically large cap stocks if you choose to be in the market. If you want to time the market, the key thing that I would look at is the shape of the yield curve. Basically, inverted yield curves have preceded major bear markets. Now, right now, the yield curve is not inverted. It's flatter than it once was, but it's still relatively steep. You know, you're talking maybe 2% on the 10-year and basically 0% on the shorter portion of the yield curve. But on the other hand, if you raise, let's say, 50 basis points and, you know, you have, in essence, the yield curve starting to flatten and then they start forecasting there's going to be another interest rate rise or there's going to be some deflation, then at that point you could have a slightly inverted yield curve, which could cause a serious problem. So if you're kind of, again, looking for general things to look at to indicate whether there's a serious landmine approaching, probably that's one of them. At the same time, given the current environment and the prospect of raising, kind of like if the economy shows the least little bit of strength, then, you know, that kind of caps any upside. But at the same time, it prevents you from really going down because then they just decide not to raise rates. So you're kind of stuck in this high volatility zone, essentially Groundhog Day for the foreseeable future.
I wish we were stuck in a much more attractive place than Punxsutawney on Groundhog Day, as it were. But we'll stay where we're at, and then we'll check in with you to see maybe where we're going in the not-too-distant future. Doug, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me on, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Doug Roberts is the Chief Investment Strategist for Channel Capital Research, the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. He's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. And like I said, if you want to learn more about the firm, well, it's channelcapitalresearch.com. If you want to learn more about Doug and his book, you might then go to DougRoberts.com as well. All right, we've just hit the halfway pole on the Monday edition of Money Life, but up next, we're heading for trouble. David Trainer in the house, taking us into the danger zone, and then the Money Life market call. So stay tuned. We're living the Money Life, and there's much more to come.